today as we come to the table.
And so here's what happens in marriage. I know what happens in your marriage because it's happened in mine. The enemy comes and thinks, well, you know what? Maybe in their marriage, it's this way. And boy, if I only had that person or a different marriage or I had, then I would be. See what I'm saying? Listen, it's not. It's not. We all go through the same things. Don't let Satan lie to you. You have the same struggles with your husband that every wife does. You have the same struggles with your wife that every husband has. We just have different levels of it, and we have to learn what God's word says about it if we're going to navigate through it properly. And I think understanding God's design for marriage is first and foremost a big part of that. What is the purpose of marriage?
Every couple in a marriage has their own set of problems, and we, as humans, have a tendency to imitate others and try to incorporate their behaviors into our own. Even in marriage, we tend to observe other couples and compare ours to theirs. We try to blame our spouse for any disagreement by comparing them to others. Is this the appropriate attitude? Today, Pastor Mark explains how the enemy brings all of your disagreements with your spouse in order to break your relationship with them. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. You can strengthen your relationship with your spouse by reading the Bible and understanding the purpose of marriage. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 2. And so today we're looking at God's design for marriage. Let's start in verse 18. We're only going to be going verses 18 through 23 rather than up through 23, and then we'll go back and look at it more closely. Notice it says in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place." Father, we thank you, Lord. And Lord, how we look forward to how you're going to minister to your people. Lord, we ask that you would truly meet us here in a great way. Lord, that you would pour out your spirit and that you would just minister to the needs of the hearts in here today. Lord, maybe concerning their marriage and maybe concerning a marriage that they are aware of that maybe needs that ministry right now, whatever the case might be. Lord, maybe in preparation for difficult times ahead. But Lord, as we look at your word and as we see your design for marriage today, Lord, I just pray that you would bless it. And I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you would open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, minister to us. There are undoubtedly those here this morning that are hurting right now in their marriage. Some that are rejoicing. And Lord, your spirit and your word is able to meet us wherever we are. And so we pray that you would just minister in your way today. Bring hope and encouragement to your flock. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's design for marriage. You know, the first marriage was the first institution that God ordained with man. And there's a good reason for that. Marriage is the foundation of not only the family, but of society as a whole. You know, I never understood that as a child growing up. I just knew that mom and dad were married. I knew that, you know, we had this family or whatever, but I never realized the importance of the stability that it brought to my life. And those of you that come from broken homes, you know some of the turmoil you went through as seeing mom and dad and this, I guess, commitment and this couple you look to be your guides through life, suddenly being separated and now torn apart for whatever the reasons, and some of them biblical, some of them non-biblical. That's not really the issue here for the point, but the point is that your heart was broken. And it changed your life to some degree. It affected your life, and it has affected your life throughout your life to some degree. And so, again, we see the importance of marriage and the reason the Bible says that God hates divorce. It's not to make anyone feel bad that has been through that, because God is a God of healing and a God of restoration. But you can understand scripturally why God hates divorce, because, again, it brings such pain into so many lives, not just the two that are divorcing, but the children. And because God has given marriage as the first institution, he shows the importance of the foundation of marriage in our society, in our world, not just, you know, as companionship and husband and wife, but the foundation it is for not just those individuals, but the society as a whole. And so we're going to see today that God ordained marriage to be between a man and a woman. And although that should be obvious due to nature alone, if nothing else, surprisingly in our day, it's not. And, you know, again, we see why, if marriage is so foundational, now we understand why Satan so attacks it. You know, if the marriage can be destroyed, think about this. Individual families can be destroyed. And what makes up a society? Individual families group together. That's what makes up a society. That's what makes up a culture. That's what ultimately makes up the world. And so in reality, when you see the family being destroyed, you see marriage being destroyed, you see society being destroyed, and that is Satan's desire. The Bible says Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly, but he said that Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And so I understand the attack there. I understand it, but I think that we as believers need to also understand God's design for marriage and why marriage is going to be attacked, and when it does, what do we do about it? These things are foundational for us to be successful individually and as a nation. Now, again, why is marriage so foundational? We've mentioned a couple of reasons, and certainly there are more. But one of the main reasons is because it is where a man and a woman establish love, commitment, and fulfillment, and really where a society is established, and children as well get direction and stability from their parents. It's where they find out commitment. It's where they learn to be rested and know that everything's okay. And so again, you see the importance of it. But there's even a greater purpose for marriage than that. And that is so that God might give a visible example of the type of relationship he desires with man. Now understand, there are different levels of marriage, if you will. There's the base level, and that is, I don't want to be alone. I want a companion. I need somebody I can share my life with. I don't mean this in a bad way, if that's where you are, but that's the base level of marriage. That's the lowest level of marriage, not in a bad way, just in this, in our scale that we're giving, and that is simply for companionship, and you don't want to be alone. And that's good. There's nothing wrong in that. Companionship is God's design, and it's something God has worked in. But then there's a much higher level for that, and that is that the husband and wife can serve together. We're going to get into that as well today a little bit, where God calls you to actually serve together. We're going to see that God has called the woman to be the man's helper, and it doesn't just mean a helper in life and a helper in the home. It means in ministry. God's highest call for marriage is that marriage would be, or one of God's higher calls is that it be used for ministry purposes. God has something in your life he wants you to do, and you're going to work as a team doing that. And so that's the next level, if you will, of marriage. But the highest level of marriage that there is the level of marriage where God is showing us the relationship that he wants with us. The desire, it is a picture, it is a visible picture of a spiritual truth where God says, I want a level of commitment. I want a level of love. I want a level of intimacy. This is what I want with you because you are the bride of Christ. The Bible says we are the bride of Christ as his church. And so God says, I want you to see visibly in marriage on the earth what I want with you. And that is this ultimately intimate relationship, the closest relationship that two individuals can have. And there's no better way to show that than through a visible, tangible way. As we see marriages that are walking in the Lord, then that is an example to us and to the world saying, look, this is what the Lord desires with us in a personal relationship, except at much even a higher plane. And so even as a man and woman share love and life and intimacy together, God has ordained it to be a picture of the relationship that he desires with us. And so understand, God's ultimate is more than just, you know, getting a companion. And we're going to see when we get to Ephesians next week, we're going to be looking at actually what we're supposed to look at this week, and that is the world's first wedding, so to speak, the wedding ceremony where God presided over it and saw over it. And then maybe the week after, we're going to be looking a little bit into even Ephesians and some of the purposes of marriage. Now, we're not going to have a marriage seminar, and I planned on actually not even addressing it as in-depthly as we're going to be doing, but after the redirection this morning, I feel that's what the Lord wants, so we're going to do that as well. But we're going to see not only God's design and God's purpose, you know, today for marriage, we're going to see some of the practical aspects to marriage and what makes a marriage function. And I want to say that my heart is with you as well. Some of you right now are hurting in your marriage. And there may even be people right now that nobody knows it. Not even your friends know you're hurting. You might even be on the brink of divorce. You've been discussing it, or maybe you've been thinking about it. The enemy's been really using that because things are going bad. I want you to know something. Every one of us have hard times in marriage. Your pastor has hard times in marriage. Tracy and I have disagreements. We have arguments. We have struggles that we go through, even as you do. There are the times that, you know, you have the trials and the tests that come along. But if we are faithful to the Lord and to heed God's command and God's word in relation to marriage, God will be faithful not only to keep our marriage together, but to bless our marriage. And some of you right now, you're thinking, well, my marriage is such a mess. I don't know what I can do. Listen, God can restore that marriage. Remember, he's a God of resurrection. That's what he does best. Even as he got up from the grave, he can resurrect your marriage to a new relationship. And so we'll be discussing how God can do that as well today before we leave. But I want you to have hope. I want you to be encouraged that God can do a miracle and God can do a great work. Now, there are those things that are beyond our control and beyond our command where, again, God gives each individual their own choice and the other individual may choose not to do so. And sometimes it doesn't end up the way that we wish it would or even as God wants it to be. And we have to face that reality. But even in the midst of that, we have to know that God is in control and that God loves us and that God will sustain us and still do what's best for us in our life, even in the midst of that. And so again, I know there's a wide gambit here. Some that are doing great right now in your marriage and some that are doing tough in your marriage. But I want you to know that all of us go through it. I don't want you to feel so alone right now. I think Satan can make you feel isolated. Nobody's having this problem. Everybody else's marriage is better. I'll bet their husband does this. I'll bet their wife does that. How come mine doesn't? And he's always making us think the grass is greener on the other side, isn't he? Isn't it amazing what we don't have, we always want? I mean, everybody that's got this naturally beautiful curly hair instead of this flat, limp stuff like I have, they all want to go straighten it. And they go pay money to get all those beautiful curls out. And I'm thinking, I'd love to have a couple of those curls. The people that have the curly hair, look at the straight. They're, well, I wish I had straight hair. My hair's so curly, it's everywhere. And so I'm going to go and, you know, and we do the opposite. If we have curly hair, we straighten it. If we have straight hair, we try to go curly it, don't we? That's not a word I know. Get it curly, all right? But we try to make it, you know, whatever. It's just, it's part of our nature. And so here's what happens in marriage. I know what happens in your marriage because it's happened in mine. The enemy comes and think, well, you know what? Maybe in their marriage, it's this way. And boy, if I only had that person or a different marriage or I had, then I would be. See what I'm saying? Listen, it's not. It's not. We all go through the same things. Don't let Satan lie to you. You have the same struggles with your husband that every wife does. You have the same struggles with your wife that every husband has. We just have different levels of it. And we have to learn what God's word says about it if we're going to navigate through it properly. And I think understanding God's design for marriage is first and foremost a big part of that. What is the purpose of marriage? Again, and the ultimate purpose is that God might show what he desires with us, his bride, that relationship. And again, if a marriage is going the right way, it's such a blessing. If it's going the wrong way, it's horrible. And we can all admit that. I've often said in marriage counseling, marriage can either be heaven or hell. And maybe your marriage has been through both. Maybe your marriage is only in one of them right now. But the bottom line is we need to understand what it takes to make a marriage successful so that when we go through these times, we're going to be okay and make it to the other side. And understand this, God even ordains in marriage for struggles to come along. Note that. God ordains for struggles to come along. You know why? Because God wants to change you, and he will use your wife to make you a different person. He will use your husband to make you a different person. He will make you complete. He will give you balance. And you know what? It's not fun to do that. You're being stretched in areas that aren't comfortable, and oftentimes it causes friction. It causes fighting. It causes discomfort. You know, I remember I'm not very limber. I'm one of these people that, you know, they say, okay, touch your toes. I am touching my toes, you know. If you want them any more, then you get them up here to me. I mean, I've just never been limber. It's not something I can, you know, I can do better than that, but I'm not, you know, but the point is I'm not real limber. But I'll tell you, when you get in those stretching times, you know, and some of you that have been in sports, you know, in younger years I was and doing everything, you get in these stretch things and it's painful. And then you get in that stretch, like, that hurts. I don't like that. But you know what? In the sport you're in, it's going to help you. Because you need to be limber to keep from pulling a muscle or to be able to function better at whatever that sport is. The Olympian athletes know that, especially this week and especially in cold weather. If they're not stretched out, then it's easy to pull a muscle with the muscles contracting with the cold winds and all. And so, again, it's very important you do so, but it's painful. And yet, in order to be successful in their field or whatever they're doing, they have to learn to stretch. And they have to say, you know what, this is just part of it. And I want to say this, husbands and wives here today, you're going to have to just say stretching is part of it. And God is stretching you so that he can make you into the person he wants you to be and bless you in the marriage the way he wants you to bless you. Notice here as God begins to talk to Adam. Again, remember the setting here. God has already created Adam. God has established a relationship with Adam, and God has put Adam in the garden. And you know, again, before God even goes on to this whole thing about now he's going to bring Adam a wife, note this, God establishes a relationship with Adam first. I think that's key in marriage. If you're going to have a strong marriage, you need to establish the relationship with the Lord first. Now, that can happen sometimes before you're married. That's how God did it with Adam. That's how God did it with maybe some of you in this room. But some of you might be in the marriage now, but the principle still holds true. And that is, if you don't have a relationship established with the Lord first, your marriage is going to have more struggles than it's designed to have. I mean, some of the struggles are designed. Some of them are brought on by our own, you know, foolishness or lack of knowledge maybe in an area. But God developed first. He knew Adam, and they had that connection first before God ever introduced another one in there. And let me just say, again, even in marriage, I want you to picture marriage a lot like a pyramid. You know, God's at the top, and on each arm of that pyramid is the husband and the wife. And the farther you are away from God, God being up here, as you move down that arm, so to speak, if you're down here and farther from God, look what happens to your marriage. You see, the farther you move from God, the farther you pull away from each other. And so, again, there's this whole relationship going on between you and the Lord. God says, look, but if you turn the other way and you begin to seek God, what happens? As you both move toward the Lord individually, what happens? You both end up working your way back toward God. And as you both work your way back toward God, what happens? Now you work your way back toward each other. And many of the marriage problems have got to start right here. And some of you are really, again, hurting today. I know that because with this many people, I know you are. And in the midst of that hurt and pain, I want to challenge you with this right now. Where are you on that pyramid? Where is your relationship with the Lord? Because if your relationship with the Lord is somewhere down this thing toward the back, no wonder you're far from your wife. The elbows are at the far extreme. You're away from each other. It's no wonder your marriage is bad. You've got to get back toward the Lord. And you might say, well, maybe I'm going back toward the Lord, but she's staying down there or he's staying down there. Listen, as you take the lead to get back toward the Lord, God is faithful to pull the other one that direction. But you've got to take that step. You know, it's interesting. We always want to blame other people, don't we? I think not only having our relationship right with the Lord, part of that is taking responsibility for ourselves. Most of the time when I do marriage counseling, you know, it's, well, he did this, well, she did that, and he did this. I think of the garden. What happens? God, you know, comes to Adam, you know, Adam, you know, what have you done? You know, what's the woman? You know, she, Lord, it's her fault. And the man's always pointing at the woman, talking about what she did wrong. Now, I'm not saying that maybe there's something she hadn't done wrong. But, you know, God didn't want Adam to say it's the woman. God wanted Adam to say, you know what, I hadn't been keeping my home like I should, and therefore now we're in this mess, Lord. He wanted Adam to take responsibility so that Adam would say, you know, listen, I'm the one at fault. I need to make sure that my walk's in order. And I want to encourage you, husbands, whether your wife is walking with the Lord or not, your responsibility is to make sure you are. Especially as the leader, you've got to have your act together. Now, again, wives, this is not something to use as a weapon after the service. You know, you heard what the pastor said. You need to be, you know. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that when it comes to the wife and she wants to change her husband or affect her husband's life, it comes through silence and prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, wives, if your husband's not obeying the word, be quiet and pray. Boy, doesn't that go against everything in our very fiber? You know, I mean, especially, don't take this the wrong way. I'm saying especially as a woman because they express themselves so much that way. They express themselves through language. You know, men oftentimes just, you know, we grunt. You know, women, you express that way. And yet God says to the woman, look, if you want to see your husband's life change, don't go and begin to bug him. It's not going to work. He won't change that way. Matter of fact, it may drive him farther. And now you have more fights. You want to see your husband change? You get quiet before him and you get quiet before me. And you let me go to your husband and change his heart. Listen, a wife that works on a husband's heart can only be so successful. A God that works on one, there's no limit. And so again, it's one of these things where I think we sometimes don't understand the way that things are supposed to work and we don't realize that. But we have to take responsibility for ourselves first of all. So the husband does. And then, you know, he says, well, it's the woman, Lord. Then he goes to Eve. Eve, what have you done? What does she do? It's the devil. He's over there somewhere. He did it. Nobody's willing to say it's my fault. And right now, some of you, it's very hard because there's pride and there's hurt and there's pain. And you're going, but they did do this. And you know what? They did. Your spouse has done things wrong. And right now you're hurting because they've done things wrong. But so have you. And until you can humble yourself enough to get the fingers pointing back at you and say, I've got to get my act together and stop worrying about my spouse, that's when God can begin to restore the marriage. Because now you're working your way back up toward the Lord, and your spouse can begin to work their way back up toward the Lord. And as you both work back toward the Lord, now you're going to see a relationship where both individuals are not only back in touch with God, they're back now in touch with each other the way they should be. And God can do that. And I want to give you hope that you have, you know, that hope in your heart before you leave, that God can restore even a ruined marriage. God has the ability to do that. And so again, even teetering on the edge, it's doing what God says and what God has asked to do. Well, God here puts Adam in the garden. He establishes the relationship with Adam. And notice it says in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, when we have a problem, notice this, God says he has a problem. It wasn't that God created something not right, but creation wasn't complete yet. Remember, we're still now getting more detail in chapter 2 about the first days of creation, where God created Adam first, and then he created Eve, both of them on that same day. But at the same time, he created Adam first, and there was a span of we don't know how many hours between the two. And the bottom line is that at this point, you know, Adam, God looks at Adam and says, we're not done yet. It's not good that man should be alone. So God says, there's a problem here. I've got a problem, and he's going to take care of it. In other words, here's the point, guys. If you've got an issue in your life, if there's a problem in your life, the Lord's aware of it. He's very much cares about the problem that you have. I think of Adam here. Adam didn't even know he had a problem yet. And some of you know, God, if God cared so much about Adam that he was already working on solving the problem before Adam even knew he had one, how much do you think God cares about you and working in your life and dealing with the issues that you're dealing with? But notice this, God knew right off the bat that it was not good that man should be alone. And those of us now married for any time can look back and see exactly the same thing God saw. It's not good that man should be alone. You know what? This is the first time in his creation we see God saying that something wasn't good. Man was incomplete. You know, before Tracy came along, before she was in my life, we ended up getting married, if you will. I didn't even know I was incomplete. I thought I was doing good, you know. It's like I thought that, you know, maybe a black and a blue sock would go fine together. Not really. I didn't think that, but that would happen sometimes. But I mean, I didn't even understand that I was incomplete. I didn't understand there were things that were missing in my life. And this is where God uses our spouse to balance us and to make us complete in very practical areas. I mean, beds, furniture, matching clothes, they meant very little to me. And yet I didn't realize what I was missing. And, you know, for your credit, you know, I thought for years, you know, I thought for years I was dressing fine. And I thought everything matched, you know, and I mean, you know, dress pants and tie-dye, what's wrong with that? I mean, I think I'm okay. What's the problem? And of course, you know, your wife comes along and I never wore dress pants and tie-dye, but you get my point. But the wife comes along and she says, you know what? That doesn't match. And you do this, and this is productive, very practical. But again, I think about those kind of things in my life. I'm thinking, you know, if I thought I looked good and my wife's looking at me going, oh, that doesn't work. What were all those people thinking before she came along? You know, everywhere I went, oh, that doesn't work. You know, but the bottom line is she's, you know, there's different things that she has giftings that you don't, men. And there's different areas where, you know, man, you have giftings that the wife doesn't have. And the two of you together, you know, make each other complete. Now, it's true that God has given us a spouse that we might have companionship. But again, one of the other reasons for a spouse is that we might have balance. We might be whole. We might be complete and finished. You know, I've found that God brings us together with spouses that often have the qualities that we lack. And the qualities that we lack, they have. And you bring it together, now it makes one complete person. Have you noticed that? You know, there's that phrase that says opposites attract. Well, there's a reason for that. Because the things that you don't have, they have. And the things that they have, you don't have. And typically, you'll come together in marriage, and one of you will be way over here on one issue, and the other one's way over here on that same issue.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.